displayed the greatness and the glory of the Father through your life, your death, your resurrection. Holy Spirit, you are great. Mm. What other being, what other God can take up residence in the lives of any human being, flawed and sinful, who calls out Jesus as Lord, willingly comes to take up residence in us? You are great. You are so loving and kind and merciful. And Father, you have blessed us beyond measure. Mm. You have given us so much, not just of material resources, but you have given us of yourself. You have given us salvation in all of its fullness. You have given us hope for each new day. You've given us joy. You've given us peace. And you've given us purpose. And because we have all of these great attributes of yourself at our disposal each and every day, we love to share that with others. And this morning we thank you for another life coming to know Jesus this last week. One of our Oasis friends coming to Jesus this last week, saying, yes, be Lord of my life. And Lord, may there be many, many others. Even throughout this summer, we may be taking a break from the regular routine of things, but Father, you are anything but routine. And you intersect our lives at moments that we least expect it in powerful ways. And we pray that you would interrupt our summer all summer long with your amazing presence and goodness, because we have a story to tell to the nations. We have a Savior to lift up and raise up and put on display, that people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. So we thank you for new life in Jesus, and we pray in anticipation for many, many, many more. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that you would meet us in your word this morning. Speak to our hearts, encourage us, embolden us, and may we be all for you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Wow. So, thank you, BJ and Roxy, for leading us this morning. Appreciate that. Yeah. You know, BJ had you just share a little bit while you were shaking hands with each other, a little bit about your summer plans. So how many of you are planning to get away, get out of town for a little bit of time? How many of you are planning to get away? A few of you. Not all of you, a few of you. And some of you are obviously then planning to stay here for the summer, right? I would take that as the opposite. Yeah, it's good. Summer vacation. Well, just a tidbit of information for you, a tip for a safe vacation at the beach. If you're planning to go to a beach anywhere this summer, if you happen to have a dog named Shark, leave him at home. Okay, it's a very bad idea if your dog is named Shark and you take him to the beach. You could cause widespread panic. All right, just an idea for you. You can take that one with you. That would be a good thing. Just so you're aware, the pastor's summer schedules, we're getting into that now, and moi and Terry will be gone for the next 3 Sundays. And Pastor Randy and Pastor Ken will be here steering the ship and looking after things, and that's great. And then we'll be back at the end of July, and Pastor Randy will take leave for a bit of time at that time. And Pastor Ken, if you've noticed, the last couple of Sundays he's been away, and we'll be back this next week. So, taking vacation. I've titled this sermon, Take this well when I say the name of the sermon today. Take a hike. Take a hike. I say that with all love and respect and enthusiasm. Take a hike. When's the last time you've taken a hike? When's the last time you've gone on a vacation when you've come back totally refreshed? Now, not everybody has the opportunity to get out of town. Some of you do the staycations, And that's good. I think Terry and I are going to be doing a fair bit of that this summer, the next 3 weeks. As a matter of fact, we don't have any plans yet. Zero. Zilch. And I'm kind of looking forward to that. You know, sometimes we can maybe go to the nth degree of overplanning a vacation. Some of you may remember watching the comedy National Lampoon's Vacation. Can we have that first slide up? Yeah. Any of you remember this movie? Some of you? Yeah. Vacation. What a happy family. What a happy anticipatory picture this is. You know, they've got their station wagon packed. Wasn't the one they had ordered, but they're going to use it anyway. And they're packed and they're ready to go. They've got plans and lots of them. And they've planned the perfect vacation. You know, how many of you have planned the perfect vacations? How many of you have ever experienced the perfect vacation? Some of you have. Now, how many of you've planned the perfect vacation, but it turned out to be totally otherwise? Yeah, those things happen, right? So sometimes we plan the vacation, and then the next slide will show us how things start to go, right? We're all together and getting the family picture together, and whether it's the dog or someone else, and things start to go a little bit sideways so that by the end of the vacation, you feel like the next slide. It's a crash. Crash and burn. And you're wondering how to get home. You're wondering if you're going to have a family when you get home after the things that you did and whatnot on the vacation. Well, you know, that can be a summer vacation, and we can close that out now. I don't need any competition and distraction from those slides, so when I preach, I know you'd love to stare at those pictures. You'd probably want to watch that movie instead of hear me preach, right? Some of you would. Anyways, taking a vacation, going for a hike, taking a break, doing a timeout. It's really important. It's really, really important in life. Do you realize that vacations were originally God's idea? He didn't necessarily call them vacation, but he put into the rhythm of life for his people rest. He did. In Genesis chapter 2, we read how God, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. God established the Sabbath to give his people time to rest and spend time with him. God gave us this special gift, a little mini vacation, woven right into the fabric of our week. And God declared it to be holy, set apart. Take that vacation time once a week and vacate. Empty everything else out. Put the work on the shelf. Now, some of you work shift work, and some of you have to work Sundays from time to time and that kind of thing. And we get that. However, if that's your case, take another time during the week and spend some time apart from the norm, the usual, and spend time with God. In the Old Testament, the law of Moses required certain vacations as religious obligations. In addition to resting on the Sabbath to keep it holy, there were also regular holiday festivals to be celebrated throughout the year. You just think about this. The Jewish people, they had a calendar. And into that calendar, there were various spiritual celebrations built in. And the people of God were expected to take part on a regular basis throughout the year, once a year, and once every so many years. There were different feasts and festivals and celebrations and observances built in. And they were encouraged at least once a year. And some strict Jews interpreted the law to mean that they should travel at least 3 times a year to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the gospel says that Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover every year. for many people, for many families, and they did this as families. Family was key. I don't think they traveled very often alone. They traveled mostly within family units. A mom, a dad, the kids, grandmas and grandpas, and they would caravan it to Jerusalem. And it was a big time. And often it would take two or three or more days of travel on foot or by animal to get to this place. And so there was camping along the way. And or they would stay with relatives along the way. And then when they got to Jerusalem, sometimes they would stay with relatives or friends, or they'd camp. And they'd be together as family, and they'd be feasting, and they'd be celebrating. They'd be spending time together. I can imagine those times would have been quite different from what the Griswolds experienced on their vacation in that station wagon. Very different. A lot of togetherness. Well, the word vacation literally means to vacate. We get that, the root word. The word was first introduced to describe the long summer breaks taken by law courts and by wealthy Europeans who would vacate their regular home and move to their summer home. And ultimately, a vacation is to take leave from your normal daily activity and go or do something entirely different. It can mean taking a trip to Florida. It can mean staying at home and knocking off from the regular routine. It's taking a break from what you normally do, i.e., sitting at an office desk, or whatever your normal routine, whether you're still working or whether you're retired, but doing something out of the normal routine. We all need to have our routine broken on a very regular basis. We actually do that every day. The routine of work, yes, there's another routine, and that's sleep, but we break the work pattern and we go to bed at night. It's interesting that the human body needs a certain amount of sleep. From person to person, that may differ, but we need that break. It not only gives our bodies a break, a time to recoup, to rest and be refreshed, it gives our minds time. And I know many of you have trouble shutting the mind off, right? Many lay awake at night thinking, and it's hard to turn that off. And yet God desires for us to get into the routine of the best that we can, turning off so that we can rest and be rejuvenated, mind, soul, body, and spirit. According to one article, more than half of American workers left vacation time unused in 2015. They left a lot of vacation time. Half of American workers didn't use all of their vacation time. This adds up, according to this article, to 658 million unused vacation days. And some of you are thinking, I'll take some of those days. Some of the reasons people say they don't take their vacations are they don't want to return to a mountain of work when they get back. You ever been there? I don't know if I can afford to take a day off because when I come back, there's going to be a pile on my desk. 37% of the people polled said that was their reason for not taking all of their vacation days. Fearing that no one else could do the job while they're gone, 35%. So they're the only ones that can do the job as qualified as they are. Trouble affording a vacation. 33%. So there's a variety of reasons why people don't take a break. And I got thinking about this. And I think for many people, those are presenting issues. But I think there can be underlying currents why people don't take time to Sabbath, whether it's on a weekly basis or more extended times throughout the year. I think when we struggle to take a day off or take a week off or more during vacation periods, well, and if we have some of these reasons, that, you know, I'm afraid of so much work being piled up, or no one can do the work quite like I can. I wonder if at the base of some of those issues, there's trust. Trust. Trust in a fellow employee that they will actually get the work done. Or trust in God that actually things will be looked after, even if you're gone. Trust that there will be supply and provision for me while I'm gone. Trust that I've been doing a good job, and that I don't have to fear that when I come back, I'm going to be replaced by someone else. Taking a rest is important, really important. Experts, whoever they are, tell us that vacations make you happier. And it all depends on our attitude, right? It all depends on our attitude while we're on vacation, even while we're planning for a vacation. But we will be happier if we enter into that downtime with a proper godly attitude. Vacations should be fun and relaxing and make you a happy person. But research shows that people who come back from vacation are generally more satisfied with their lives in general when they return. Calmer, more satisfied, mentally healthy people are actually better workers and members of society in general. See, when a person is at rest and at peace, they've made peace with leaving work over here for a period of time, and they've made peace with their performance, and they're okay being gone from those things for a period of time, then they'll be at peace when they come back, because being in entirely different surroundings, or an entirely different, if you're at home, an entirely different pattern for a period of days or weeks is actually really, really refreshing. It builds a person up. Vacations make you healthier, they tell us. They reduce stress. Vacations give your body time to recuperate and repair itself. According to experts, research has shown that people on holidays immediately feel healthier, have less physical complaints, and even have a reduction of cholesterol levels in their return. That's kind of cool. Some of you are now saying, I'm signing up for a vacation. I didn't take all of my days last year, so I'm going to make sure I do that this year. What happy people we will have in our congregation. Happier and happier and happier. Vacations also make us more productive. Vacations decrease job stress, employee burnout, and reduce absenteeism. Workers who take vacations come back with a renewed vitality at their job and are actually more productive than they were before. Taking a break produces good results. If we go into a vacation, go into that season of being off, Sabbathing for a period of time. So how does a Christian take a vacation? You ever felt guilty taking a vacation? Some of you are saying, No. Some of you are saying, man, I had that coming. And more. And yet some of us sometimes have felt guilty for taking a vacation. I felt somewhat guilty earlier on in the ministry. And things were different back then, to be honest. But I did feel guilty sometimes because I was a solo pastor in some smaller churches. And I had those thoughts. Well, if I'm the only pastor, and if I leave for 2 weeks or even a week, what's it going to look like when I get back? You know, some of those insecurities, are they still going to want us when we get back? Or is someone else going to start doing something and start taking control and move things in a different direction? All of those things became part of my psyche for a brief period of years earlier on in pastoral ministry. And so sometimes I felt a little guilty. Sometimes other people will make you feel guilty for taking time off. And really, it's not their business. You need to take your time and enjoy it with the Lord. Here's some things to think about if you're taking a vacation. And by the way, in your bulletin, there's a little sheet provided for you, especially for those of you with young children. Taking a vacation with kids is awesome, isn't it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I so enjoyed the vacations that we took when our kids were younger, and we'd do different things, go different places. We all in our family have fond memories of dearest father setting up the tent trailer, right, Janae? Those were the days when, as soon as we'd arrive at the camping spot, their mother would quickly usher all of the kids, come with me to the playground while Dad sets up the tent trailer. Yeah, been there, done that. Anyways, good times. As believers in Jesus Christ, one of the first things to think about is don't take a vacation from your faith. This isn't a time to simply go somewhere and let loose. If Christianity is simply really, really hard to maintain in the day-to-day, then perhaps that's saying something about your perception of what it means to be a Christian. If you have to get away somewhere to let loose and be yourself instead of at home with other believers or your normal work cohorts and so forth, that's saying something about your perception about what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. It shouldn't be something that we have to run from. If we have a secondary life that we're living in another fashion somewhere else, that's a dangerous thing. You're still a follower of Jesus Christ even if you are in a different town. Don't forget your values and your spiritual practices, your devotions, your times of prayer, and times of loving God and loving on your neighbors. Take Jesus on vacation with you, and it will be an amazing time. Again, whether you're staying at home throughout the summer season or whether you're getting away somewhere with your time off, be mindful of Christ in your presence always. Secondly, don't worry so much about all of the details that you forget the main point. Sometimes, I think, we probably planned out the vacation really, really well, but sometimes there were so many details going into a vacation. Oh, we've got to get to this point by this time on this day because these people are going to be there and we have to connect with them. And then we've got to leave there and then travel this way. I know it's going to be a long drive the next day, but we've got to get to that place by this time because this is happening there. And it can be like that all summer long on your vacation time. And by the time you get home, you're so exhausted. We've heard this before. You need a vacation from your vacation. We sometimes overplan. And when Jesus went from place to place with his disciples while he wasn't on vacation, it seems from the text of the New Testament and the Gospels that he didn't have this crazy itinerary lined up. He would go from place to place, recognizing what was going on, and he and his disciples would enter into those things. They took it as it came, and they made the best of it in those moments and introduced people to the kingdom of God and the presence of Jesus, God through Jesus. Don't worry so much about the details that you forget the main point. To rest and take a break from all the things that you have to do in your regular life. That's the point. To take a break from all of the regular details and demands. If you got a lot of things going on at home, things that need to be looked after while you're gone, get your kids to look after them. They can come and check the house. Oh, sorry. They can come and check the house and make sure the lawn's watered and those kinds of things. After all, we do that for you guys too, right? We do that for each other. That's the other thing. If you bump into somebody that really needs a break, and they're struggling to find ways of unhooking and engaging because they have so many obligations, offer to help them out a little bit. Say, you guys need a break. We'll look after this for you. Go and breathe. These things will be looked after. Thirdly, forget the world's views about the perfect vacation. Sometimes we've been able to have that perfect vacation, But when we set out in order to achieve the perfect vacation, that creates a stress in and of itself that now we have to achieve another thing, another goal on vacation. Vacation is a time when you just kind of let things happen sometimes. It's good to plan. I'm in favor of planning. But don't get caught in the world's perception of what a vacation has to be. It doesn't have to be going out and spending thousands of dollars to travel to exotic places. And if you can do that, that's great and that's wonderful. And that's a gift. Go and do those things. Enjoy them. And be blessed. But I would encourage you not to bring the vacation home with you. You've heard that statement before too. That all too often, we go out and we get excited on a vacation and we just keep pulling out that charge card. Charge card, charge card, charge card. And then we get home and we find out that the vacation has followed us home. And now we're going to keep paying for that vacation post-vacation. The fourth thing is, think outside the box on your vacations. Jesus was not a rich man. He was basically homeless, and he lived in a poor peasant society, largely, with the Jewish people, under the oppression of the Romans. Yet Jesus somehow managed to take regular trips from place to place for the same, and he traveled with friends, and we can do the same. Don't fall for the world's lie that every vacation has to be elaborate and expensive. Sometimes something as simple as a walk through the park on a beautiful day can be like a vacation for you. It's just getting away and experiencing good things, if you're intentional about it. One of the things that I enjoy doing from time to time is I like to download pictures that I've taken on vacation from various places. And I go to those files on my computer, and I begin looking through them. And what, again, experts tell us is that when you look at those pictures and you see the places and you see the people you were with, you see the selfies, guess what happens? The warm memories start coming back. And experts, again, the medical community tells us that it elicits feelings and creates a type of a physiological response within our body so that it produces the same effect as though we were there again. The memories stirred up creates the same euphoria that we experienced when we were in some cool places or with some great friends having great times. That's a good thing to do. You can go on a vacation by just looking at your pictures from last year, the year before, or the year before that, and remembering and reliving a little bit some of those special times. And that's a good thing. A spiritual retreat is a good thing to do once in a while, if you can do that, if you can take a day or two or three to separate out and sometimes get alone, or maybe with one or two very close people. It allows you to step away from the normal tasks of life and spend a bit of time focusing on your spiritual life. We do this on a cyclical basis. Sunday mornings, we do try and do Sunday mornings once a week. Right, BJ? We attempt it. And so far, we're 100% successful. Every Sunday, there's a service here. And that's a good thing. And I know how important it is for us to gather regularly with other people to worship, to pray together, to get into the Word together, to be taught something, to hear something encouraging, to spend time with each other. It can carry you through the week. Also to build some of those special times throughout the week. That's why we do life groups. That is so essential and so healthy. A trip to see family or friends can qualify as a vacation. You can also save a lot of money if you go visit relatives and friends and they feed you the whole time you're there. You don't have to spend money for a hotel. But you've heard the little statement, what's the difference between an outlaw and an in-law? Outlaws are wanted, right? Yeah. Okay. In Luke 5:16, it says that Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He literally vacated. He left the other things undone, and he slipped away to be recharged and reinvigorated. He often did that. He often did that. We need to have those kinds of times where we slip away. Because sometimes it's near impossible to be spiritually refreshed if we stay at the same things day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. Sometimes you need to get away to a quiet place or do or see something entirely different and let the world unravel and kind of spin off. And then you can start to hear fresh and see things from an uncluttered perspective. But getting away, I just read this morning, a little statement that said that old roads, old dogs, old folks, and old ways have a lot to offer in this sped-up world we live in. I love the picture that that creates. And of course, on that little statement, it had a picture of an old truck in an old dusty dirt farm road. That resonates with me. But slowing the pace of life down. Catch your breath. In a, I think it was a 2016 copy of Off Grid magazine, one writer talks about an excursion that he had to Yosemite National Park. He says, if you've never been, it's most certainly a trip to add to your bucket list. Standing atop Glacier Point in the Cedar Mountain air, I gazed at the immense structure of Half Dome casting its shadow across the Yosemite Valley and listened to the thunderous roar of water cascading over the waterfalls. And then he says, this trip also served as a reminder. No matter how busy my schedule may be, I need to make more time to get out and enjoy nature. I'd encourage you to do the same, he writes, going somewhere without cell signals. Are you comfortable doing that? Some of you are going, oh yeah, yeah. It's a stretch for some of us sometimes, because it's kind of like when our heart beats, we know our cell phone is there. We feel kind of at one, you know? He says, I'd encourage you to do the same. Somewhere without cell signals is an excellent way to lower your blood pressure, regain perspective, practice survival skills, and quit worrying about those overdue reports. They can wait. You'll never hear a dying man wish he had spent more time sitting in the office and less time outdoors with his family and friends. Isn't that true? So very true. This little story, or this little account, comes from a woman named Diane Swan, who talks about, she writes, 15 years ago, a much younger, more broken version of me went on vacation to Disney World, clueless to the fact that my life was about to change forever. I had no idea that when my plane landed and I went to the resort, I would encounter a divine, God-designed and timed appointment, one that would alter the course of my life, and its ripple effects know no end. While on tour of the luxurious vacation accommodations, I couldn't help but notice that something was very different about the man that was guiding me. There was just something about him that puzzled me, something I had never seen before. He was so full of joy and love and peace that it struck me as odd. No one is that happy, I thought to myself. And after pondering on this anomaly for over half an hour, I finally asked him, "What's your deal?" I said. What is it that makes you so happy? His answer was one I would never have anticipated. He very calmly and plainly replied, I gave my life to Christ 2 years ago, and he completely transformed me. That's why I'm so happy. I have to be honest. At first, I thought he was crazy. I thought, oh, great, a Jesus freak. But as I listened to him share his story, his personal testimony of what God did for him, it left me wondering, if God did that for him, what would he do for me? And that is where it all started. The turn, the shift in my heart, in my mind, and eventually in my life. It all leads back to that one moment on vacation when a random tour guide answered a question with the most honest answer I had ever heard. All these years later, it still amazes me that God would come into my heart while on vacation at Disney World, of all places. He didn't choose to come to me in a church, probably because I wouldn't ever go to one. Nor did he come to me during a special service or event. Matter of fact, at the time, discovering God was the farthest thing from my mind, and yet he still pursued me and used the words of a total stranger to start me on a course that would lead me to the love, joy, and peace I longed so much in my life. And she says that was my salvation vacation. You know, Jesus went on vacation with a friend of mine just a few years back. He did. He went on vacation with my friend. What did he do on vacation with my friend? Well, first of all, I know it was by invitation. And it was purposeful. This friend and his wife got on a plane and went down to California, and they visited a church down there and came back, and they were enthused and encouraged. And on their way back, Jesus started talking to the young passenger beside him, a young woman. And Jesus started unfolding what real life really means to this young person. And this young person was at a state where there was disappointment, frustration, embarrassment, and confusion. She didn't know that she had an appointment with Jesus while flying back from Redding, California. Well, the friend was Norbert. And he took Jesus and his wife on this little vacation down south to visit Bethel Church. And on the way back, put into practice, knowing the presence of Christ was with him, hearing the words of this young woman, knowing that this young woman needed hope and encouragement, but more than anything, needed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's in those moments when we may be on vacation that God will seat us next to someone that needs to know who Jesus is. And so as Norbert shared the life of Christ with this young woman, she came to the point of asking Jesus into her heart. But it just didn't stop there. They exchanged their contact information, and for quite some time, Norbert was deliberate about contacting this person, and this person would respond and contact him. The purpose was for encouragement, to keep walking with Christ and explore that new relationship with Jesus. So Jesus goes on vacation. He took vacations while he was walking this earth. He took a break to get alone, to be refreshed, and he did so often. We need to do the same. Jesus continues to go on vacation. And so if you're getting away somewhere, or if you're just simply taking time off and staying at home, Jesus really wants to go with you. As a matter of fact, as many of you have already planned your vacations, I know that the Spirit of Christ was right there in your planning and at every juncture, wanting, basically jumping up, can I come? Can I come? Can I come? We'll have so much fun. Can I come? And our natural response is, man, I wouldn't want to go anywhere without him. I wouldn't want to go anywhere without my Lord. To invite him along and say, we want you front and center. We want you to lead us and guide us. And we want you, as much as we need rest and reflection and repose from the busyness of this world, we want you to open our eyes to see what you want us to see, to do what you want us to do. And if there happens to be anyone you want us to get close to so that they can see you more clearly through us, we're all in. We want that as part of our vacation too. And I just think that's such an opportunity for every one of us to invite him on vacation. Jesus wants to go on vacation with you. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, very exciting. Well, let's stand in closing. In a moment, I'm going to turn Buffy's going to do it. He's going to turn a song on from a CD that I just received last evening. And this is a CD by Mitch Boros. And most of you here know Mitch Boros, a son of this church, shall we say. Rebecca, your son. And you need to be proud of your son for this CD. We've listened to some of it. And this particular song, it's got power and energy. It's a worship song. And I thought that would be a great treat and whet your appetite. Some of you might want to figure out how to get a hold of one of those CDs and have it in your possession. Mitch is a worship leader in the church in Abbotsford, British Columbia. He helps people take a vacation every week through leading worship and raising up worship leaders within their church. And so I thought we would walk out this morning as you greet one another and walk out, enjoy this song and be blessed by it. But I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And then afterwards, as the music begins, this is what I'm going to encourage you to do. Early in the service, you shook hands with different people and you found out what they're doing, what their summer plans are. I'm going to encourage you maybe to go back to one or two of those people. Reconnect as the music begins to play. And would you declare Christ's presence over each other throughout the summer season, whether you're going somewhere or staying home? Would you just declare Christ's presence with you, with each other, as the body of Christ, and bless each other? Speak life into each other as the summer truly begins and many people are going vacation. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to sing in worship and adoration about Jesus this morning, all that he has done for us, the blood that he shed, the life that he gave. I just think, wow, to be able to walk with Jesus on a daily basis from town to town, what that would have been like. And then I stop and I think, but Jesus, you're with me now. And so I pray that you will walk with us. And that as we go from this place, and many have already launched into a vacation somewhere, left town for a little bit of time, and many will yet throughout these next number of weeks, 2 months or so, Father, would you remind us day by day that we get to take you wherever we go? So we invite you on vacation with us. We thank you for a society like Canada that is celebrating its birthday tomorrow. We thank you for this land where there are laws put in place where we get to take a break and enjoy the beautiful country and other places around, even if it's just our backyard. We have time given to us. Thank you for that gift, that blessing. And thank you for the blessing of one another here this morning. Father, would you walk with us, talk with us, and encourage us, and empower us with your Spirit to engage fully with you throughout this summer season so that we can get back to things afterwards fully refreshed, fully invigorated, filled up, ready to serve with full capacity for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So enjoy this song, courtesy from Mitch Boros, and bless one another before you go this morning.